No, turn around on the second half. Those sheets, the ones that have a picture on the front. That's some more. Okay. Okay, so just to give a context of where we're holding in the Ner Mitzvah, the whole, the core that is built on, is that we look at the Neis of Hanukkah within the framework of Dalet Malchus. There are two basic marachas of Klal Yisrael and antagonisms and antagonists. There is Mitzrayim and the Yom Tovim that come Mikoach Mitzrayim. And then there is the Dalet Malchus, which starts with Bavel, Paras, Yavan, and Rome, which are all in the Chalm of Daniel. So a Malchus Bavel, we don't have anything that specifically celebrates its demise, because it was a sudden, it came by itself, and it sort of didn't, there was no interaction with Klai Yisrael on that. Klai Yisrael had nothing to do with that. Paras, we have Purim, and Yavan, we have Hanukkah. So the inyanim of each of these, in each of these malchis, the Maral explains, is another way away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He explains the number of Dalet. He explains that's why it's in the first parasha and so on. Over here he's going on the Chazal, on the Maimer Chazal, about the eagle, Kisuchem HaKeren Asher, and why Dach HaKeren Asher, and now we're holding on the last paragraph in this inyan. So he says like this. There was a difference. All Malchias were Goizan Klal Yisrael Xeris. But there's a very big difference in the thrust of Xeris. Rome had no real interest in the content of the religion. Rome had they had a pantheon of older gods. And Rome's main point was Shilton. And if in any way the Beis Hamikdash saw itself as being, Klai Yisrael, the Beis Hamikdash saw itself as being independent of Rome, being married against the Malchus of Rome, that's where they had a problem. But they did not have any real affinity for Chochmah, anything like it. Yavon, it was a lot more, and it's interesting, in when we talk about Yavon, so on the one hand, yes, it was a Malchus that conquered countries and so on, but it came with a culture. It came with a Hellenist culture, and it was more of a fight about who has the right to call themselves a divine people that are above everyone else, that are more chashev, that have a maila. And therefore, Klai Yisrael, so they were interested not so much in crushing Klai Yisrael, as much as in Klai Yisrael admitting that they don't have a chelik and a nachla in Teres Yisrael and so on. So he says, V'zek shekot v'asra, v'zek kol kavas ha'rik v'shiz boi, av'la yivonim lo yekavas v'shalach aloysim, rak ho'yem v'kein lechem chelik v'yisbarach, rak kilona amayla loikis. Now, it wasn't only a question of who has the maila. It was also a question of what that maila entails exactly. The Klai Yisrael believed in a god that's tied with the Bria, and b'meila, a person who's oisik in whatever is toiv, is kosher HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and is Am Hashem. And within the context of this world, we can express this as Am Hashem. The Yevanim they looked at it very differently. They looked at it as God was the ultimate intellect. It was sort of the super intellect. And people that raised themselves up to that level were tied to it. It wasn't any interaction with the world on the bottom. So it was not only the pshat, they were both trying to play for favorites in God's eyes. It really was a very different musig of God. And Yevanim said people who are Oisek and Chachma and Oimid and Chachma are the pinnacle. That's what a person is. There's no such, you don't belong to God. It's just like if a person is a tremendous Chacham and he's Oimid on a lot of Yesaidis of the nature of Bria, he doesn't look at himself belonging to that nature. He looks at himself as having attained the understanding of how it works. That makes him a super person, as opposed to Klal Yisrael, who sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being very personal God, someone who has a rutz in the Bria, and that's what we're shaykh to. So upon him, that's the end of Malchus Shlishis, that's the end of Yavin. Now he's going to explain the fourth, which is Malchus Rome, and like the Maral always, the Maral explains, the Chazal explains it from beginning to the end, he'll also explain the fourth one. V'oidro Daniel Chaya Revius v'meshanya mikol chiyusim. He saw the fourth Chaya, which is different than all the other Chayas, so he had a dream of four different Chayas. Each one represented a different nation that conquered Klal Yisrael, and it was a certain progression why it went from one to the other. The fourth one, he says, was different than the other three. Ukramanu, ki davazen neged mashadam kol min il gimul dvarim shem kriach gufnish yesh badam, v'yesh kriach nafsh yesh adam kriach sichli. So he says like this, a person has three different kochos in himself. And this is the Maral's chaluka. This is his division across the board. You deal with the person on a physical level. On a physical level, I don't mean just the nature of the body. I mean the drives and the desires and the cravings that come from a body. So a person has the motivations in himself that are really thrust on him by his physical self. You have the kochos, the motivations that are what he calls nafshi, which we will call things such as ambition and greed and arrogance and all of these things which are not physical cravings and desires, but nafshiistic, which the word emotion is kind of not a really great word for it, but for lack of anything better, but that's what it is. And then you have kochos sichlius, where a person looks for emes and toiv and all those in yanu. Those are three different kochos in a person, and every person has all three of them. And it's not three separate nefashos, much because Ramzal Pakdam Saprakim, Ramam Shwana Prakim makes it very clear. In other words, in a person's sense of self, in a person's drives, and what motivates a person, what moves a person, it's a combination of these three. He says, but there's another koyach in a person that includes all the kochos in a way that act like one. We'll get to it in a second. Shadibo koil kol gimel chalakim, ki adibo di aloshen shaloshen gufni, hu tzoch lifo la dibo di nefesh yinefesh pa elas, v'chol dibo tzoch gamke la seichel, she behema she ino sichlis in la dibo. So he says, in a person, there are three separate strata of koiches, and then there is a koyach together that combines all of them. Let's give an example. If I like somebody, if I have a child and I like, so that liking of the child expresses itself in a tremendous yearning for the child, expresses itself in my desire to hug the child, kiss the child, etc., and a deeper understanding of children to parents and so on and so forth. All three together combine in me to create something that I call Ava, which really, really sort of has elements of all of them. A person doesn't function as three separate things, it functions as one whole. So just like when you have things that have ingredients, so you'll take a look at something, it has different ingredients, you a lot of times have an emulsifier which allows them all to become one and not to keep separating. If you take a look at, and if a person were to take things, like, you know, it's going to say, compare the ingredients of A to B. You know, you have the things. And that's like saying that, let's say I see a very fancy cake made by a very good bakery. So I'll get from somebody a list of the ingredients and how much you put in, mix them in a bag, and dump them in the oven. And I'll say, compare the ingredients, A to B. I don't think that it will taste the same. I don't think if you take all the ingredients that they put into a very nice and fancy cake, mix them together and dump them in the oven, that'll be the same. There's the way in which you combined it and put it together so that when you eat a very good cake, you don't say, must have about two-thirds flour, about a third sugar, some this, some that. It has a new tzur to it. So an Adam has in himself different kohos, and I can focus on different kohos. He also has a fourth koyach, which is the integration of those koyaches. And it's in koyach ha-dibur that a person expresses it. And let's explain why. That's why koyach ha-dibur is so important. That's why it's called koyach adam. First of all, as opposed to the seichel, which is all in my head, and has no physical expression, whatever I think in my mind, I think in my mind. When scientists try to research thinking, they have a very hard time because there are no parts that move. There's a little more activity here, a little less activity there. It's not like when you're researching a hand, you take an x-ray, you take an MRI, you see exactly which piece is moving, which piece is broken, which piece is thick, which piece is thin. You don't see that in the mind. So the mind has no interaction with the physical world, kemat. But when I speak, I gave a very physical reality. Speech A needs a verb that moves physically, and it creates a sound, which is a real physical entity. Speech requires intelligence. I need to think of words that, in other words, I'm saying something that expresses an idea, a thought, an observation, something. And finally, the desire to speak. You know, my speech is motivated by some sort of emotional need or output. I want to communicate to you. I want to reach out to you. I want to interact with you. Speaking is a koyach hanefesh, and you can tell when a person talks to you and it's very perfunctionary. A person tells you something, and let's give an example. A person tells you, chayis divrei musar techacha, just out of rote. So he says the right words, he maybe pronounces them exactly where it should be pronounced, but you feel that there's no kochas nefesh, there's no passion in it. So that, what's missing? The answer is that's missing. So koyach ha-dibur is a place that includes all of it. The thought that is the word, the act that is the word, the amount of passion you put into it, the three of them together form a dibur. So that's why Adam, Nefesh Chaya is Ruach Memala, because the only koyach that combines all three in yonim of a person together. Most activities, there's not really much das expected. A person runs. So Mistame, he's going someplace. You can sometimes tell he's running very energetically. He's nimshach to something. But at the end of the day, there's not much in the world of sichlius that gets put into it. But here's something that has all of them. So the Dalad Malchus, and going back to the very beginning, since the Tzur of Adam is a Malchus in the Bria, His job is to be Roida and to be Moishel and to be Koivish. He's supposed to take the entire Bria and be Moilach on the Bria. So the Hefech is going to be Malchias that are problematic in one way or another. V'lekach ro'o Daniel chaya dalad mishunim kol chayis. Mipnei ki chayir viz yesh po shel elu gimel koiches. V'koil kol gimel. Avl gimel malchus harishayin is kol echa vechmen chelek echad, rak ha-malchus harvi is koil kulam. So the malchus harvi is the malchus that's koil all of it, and therefore it has in itself all those elements plus a combination of it. Let's talk a little bit about this as an akuda. So first is explaining it because we learn a chazal, certainly learn a parasha, you're supposed to learn all of it. And he'll go back over again in each one is malchus and point out certain akudas. But what becomes important is all of the things that we say about each of the malchus that we went through. So the list of galus, we're still in galus roim, still in galus seven. That's still the galus we're in, according to the vast majority of Rishonim. So the first, this malchus will contain in itself elements of all the others, and that's why it's so important to still to understand it today. Rome, like we said before, Rome itself is not. It had no real teichen to itself. Rome, it was extremely good at absorbing everything of the other cultures and putting it in order. It's like a great administrator. Somebody who's an administrator of a hospital, he's not a doctor, he doesn't cook food, he doesn't sweep the floors, he doesn't accept patients, but he knows how to put the pieces together. So he knows how to get the best doctor and the best receptionist and the best insurance and so on and so forth. The Malchus Roim has no seichel of its own. It's in Yonim Sichlium, it absorbed from Yavin. And that's why I think the famous statement that the conquered ones conquered their conquerors was that even though Yavin was conquered by Rome, but in the end of the day, the content of Rome was all came from Yavin. So whatever alternative mitzias we see to Yiddishkeit today, what we call Western culture, which is really the only culture that to us is an alternative. The Eastern culture is not, for somebody who's Miyushev, Eastern culture is not an alternative. I mean, yes, for somebody kind of on the edge, on the fringe, or whatever it is, but that's not a culture that really grabs and absorbs people. It's the Western culture that absorbs people and neshamas and so on. It has elements from Yavin. It has elements from Paras, it has elements from Bavel, all those elements. And the element of Yavan, which, like I explained before, is especially it close to us because it touches on Seichel, which is the most refined part of a person, that which Malchus Reim has, it absorbed from there. And therefore, it still gives relevance to all. So just like Inyanim of Paras are still relevant to us, because Rome has those elements, Yavin is still relevant to us because Rome absorbed it, and a lot of the Seichel and Das and so on is Kenegede. Okay, let's see the next piece. Ubemedrish. He brings a chazal about the different Balechayim and which one is Kenegede which. Hudaita Birchnam Birchnan Al Kane Hikom Arya Meir Zubovel, Arya's Bovel, Zeva Ravas Yishadim Zumodai, Nomar Shoikarem Zuyovan, Kahitzmani Torf Zu Ede, Loma Kirabo Peshev, Otsu Mishavasehem, Chazay Savis Varu Echot Kenomo Zuyovan, Shoisima Medes Yosef, Mazi Sol Kisakarna Shoshan Helkolam Haba. That's the Chazal you said before. Chaza Havis, Bosa de Noah, afterwards Chaza Vais, Bechazvem Leil, I saw in a vision at night, the Oru Chiva. I saw a fourth animal that was extremely frightening. Daniel saw three of them in one night, and the fourth one in another night. Lama, Rabbi Yisera, so the first night, he saw all three because each one had a different aspect. Let's Let's give an example to flesh it out so that we can get a sense of it. Let's say a person is being drawn in by a movement that's a shekadika movement, a movement that's not good. Let's say that that movement has in itself a very, very powerful intellectual component, apikorsis. A person is listening to somebody dash apikorsis, and the person has a very powerful mind, and he says strong things. So I can attack him, so I can try to struggle with that, that's one. Or I can say, listen, maybe the guy says things that are smart, but tell me something, emotionally, does he have a fulfilling message? Does he have any message? Does he tell you how to be good, how to be fine, how to be so on? No. So I can dislodge it. It's just like if I put something, if I bang something onto a wall, let's say, and I use only one nail when it needs more, it has more area. So even if the nail is very deep, but since so much of it is loose, I can, taking the loose place, I can pull it out by that. And same thing, let's say a movement, let's say a person is attracted. I once read, this was a guy who traveled twice from being Protestant to Catholic, to then he ended up being a Gersedek. And he said, like, when he got absorbed to Catholicism, he had kashism problems. But he said the emotional draw of the ceremonies and the atmosphere and the formality was such that it didn't allow him to bother with the questions. So it was a very, very strong emotional draw, a nafshistika draw. But at the end of the day, the loose ends of the questions and the intellect was able to pry it away. But when you have something that offers an alternative on all fronts, it has an intellectual component, it has a physical component, it has a natural component, it's very hard to get away from it. It says Yesera means, it's just like if I bang three nails in three different corners, that has a much greater impact than the strongest in only one place. So the Yesera is because when you combine the three appropriately, just like food, when going back to our cake recipe, if you have it combined properly, then the cake tastes much better than any one of its ingredients. So the Malchus Reim has an additional, the fact that we were able to dislodge ourselves from each and every Malchus on its own, each and every Malchus on its own, it still doesn't prepare us for something that's all together. When two are against one, he's not half as good, he's much less. Next page. And on that, Rish Lakish asks him, what about, it says in the Pasuk, that is remarked kaf al kaf, that there's a chiddush in the Malchus revis. So he says, so he goes back and forth on the psukim whether or not it's something which is stronger, not stronger. And let's see the last sentence of this paragraph. Ulekach hamalchus hazois himivakesh shetiyeh hi akoil le'achav mitzias klal. The difference between the other malchias want a lot for themselves, but they don't need to exclude everyone else. Yavin wants Yavin, and it does whatever it can to make Yavin cheshiva. But the idea that it bothers her that there's something but Yavin doesn't exist. In Rome, they have a problem with anything other than Rome. And this comes from, let's understand the oimik of it. Emunah Shleiman HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he's koil, that ein oid milvadi. We don't talk about how good HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. We talk about Ein Oid Milvada, there's nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Koilom Yachad, Yoytze Yachad Libo. So the Hefech, the Malchus that stands most against that, is going to share the same characteristic. It's not the Pshat that we're interested in having a nice Malchus and a good Malchus and a strong Malchus. We're interested in not having anything but our Malchus. That's the difference. So the Malchus Revis is of a very different nature, and that's why we're still stuck in it. It's an almost infinite Malchus, because it demands excluding everything else out of it. And that's why the Malchus Reviyus is the most fearful Malchus. He's now going to go back and go over the Malchus again and go and speak more. There'll be Nekudas here about Yavan a lot more in the next pieces. Okay.